Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello.
Thank you for going to the Les Schwab Twires.
Twires?
I don't know. Hello. We appreciate you going to the Les Schwab.
Why can't you say tires?
Vive Clicquot. It's the same
thing.
Just
say tires.
Where did we pick up from? Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sinner and the Saint podcast. I'm Luke Anderson.
I'm Will Darkins, and this is sponsored by Les Schwab Tires. Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yep. Enjoy.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Happy Saturday. Good to be back.
Wow.
What?
Whoa.
Oh, is that word? I don't know what you're doing right now.
We're back.
No, I'm back. I was gone last week. I'm gone next week. And then it's football season.
And then you're gone another week.
No, I don't think I am. Oh. Actually, we're gone because we got a Ducks game on the 8th of September. So I guess I am gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gone. We get bumped by the Ducks like week two of the football season.
Which, might I add, is complete horse ass.
What?
That we're getting bumped by the Ducks.
How are we not the pregame running right into that?
Well, honestly, we should also be the halftime show. Could you imagine us as a halftime show for the Ducks?
Now you're talking. How about that first half? I don't know. I was drinking a beer.
Hey, did you see that guy in the front row there? That guy who fell asleep with his beer in his hand?
Yep.
That would be the halftime analysis.
Just be breakdown.
Yeah.
We'd spend most of the time talking about Oregon's strength coach mustache.
That guy.
What's his name?
I'll look it up.
Mustache guy.
That guy. I've had enough of that guy. He needs to go away.
You've already had enough of mustache guy? We haven't even seen him on the Oregon sideline yet.
Hold on a second. I'm going to look up mustache guy Oregon on Twitter.
Yeah, it's handlebar mustache guy.
Let's see here. I'm not getting a lot of results.
Well, that's because there are no images of him in Oregon gear yet. We still need to get. What?
Hold on a second. Oh, Aaron Feld.
Yeah, that's what I said.
You said mustache guy.
Yeah, Aaron Feld is mustache guy. He was the Georgia strength coach, right?
Yeah, and I get it. I actually do have a serious problem with Aaron Feld. And would you let me vent for a second?
That's what we're here for. We're here to listen to you vent about strength coaches.
All right, so this guy is pretty much taking all the attention away from the players, in my opinion.
Oh, you didn't even know his name until you looked it up.
Okay, but the first thing that I see on his Twitter page, it's a pinned tweet of him doing these bicep curls, and he's just speaking at the camera, just yelling at it with that stupid 1920s mustache. Okay. Like, dude, go hop in a time machine and go to friggin' London in the 1920s, and let's see if you actually survive, dude. Because that facial hair doesn't fit what type of attitude you have. And then he's got that slicked up hair. Dude, flush yourself down a toilet.
Wow. Tell me how you really feel. Waiting for it. Okay. Yeah. It's a good start. It's a good start, Will.
I got to tell you, it's been hard on me trying to understand and come to terms with the fact that we are now home of the Ducks. And that every Saturday, I got to swallow my pride and talk about the Ducks.
We don't have to talk about the Ducks.
We have to talk about the Ducks.
No. Only if you want to stay on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were told that in a meeting.
No.
A meeting we weren't supposed to. Oh, whoop.
Yeah. Oh.
Damn. It's like the third time that's happened.
You are not off to a great start. I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. We're going to be talking about the Ducks anyways. This is going to be one of those seasons for them where they've got a lot to prove. Third coach in 3 years. Mm. See what Mario Cristobal can do, because I know everybody's excited for, what was it, the Las Vegas Bowl?
Oh, boy, that was a good game.
No. No, it wasn't.
My favorite part of that game was, again, Royce Freeman on the sideline for some reason.
Well, he wanted to sit out. He wanted to preserve himself for the NFL draft.
Then, dude, get off the sideline. You're not on the team anymore.
Yeah, well, listen, his teammates wanted him there. He's part of the pregame. Pump everybody up.
Look, we really want to win this game, and we want to make sure that our best player is on the sideline for it because he has decided he does not want to play anymore with us.
What do you expect from Royce Freeman with the Broncos?
I don't know, man. You know, they kind of, they're kind of pump and dump with running backs. I kind of worried when he got drafted by them, and I was like, I don't know how long you're going to last there. And I'm not, that's nothing of his talent. It's just more like, he fell into a crappy situation.
Yeah, they kind of move through guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're bringing in Case Keenum as their solution at quarterback, too. Mm. So I wonder how, I mean, they're a couple of years removed from the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning with no arm left. And
yes,
now they've just been moving through quarterbacks. Apparently, Paxton Lynch is hot garbage, which is fun.
Yes, he. I heard a really good comparison. If you look up a photo of Paxton Lynch on the Google, you can see that he looks like a guy who just arrived at the Billboard Music Awards, like perpetually. He looks like he's dressing up for a music, like a music awards show all the time.
He's more concerned about how he looks than how he plays. Is that what you're suggesting?
That would be an accurate assessment.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But it's funny, you have this first round pick. I mean, this is a team that dumped Brock Osweiler. Wisely, but just didn't have a replacement for him. It's very bizarre that John Elway doesn't seem to know how to evaluate quarterbacks.
Well, you know, the other thing too is they're one of those teams that are kind of like laughing in the face of football logic, which is, you know, you want to go ahead and get yourself a nice franchise quarterback and then build around him. And then they go, hey, we won a Super Bowl with a legend with one arm left, and we did it through defense. And it's like, yeah, dude, teams do that, but they do it 1 year, and they don't do it again.
Yeah.
Ravens in 2012. Well, I guess you could say Ravens in 2001. Well, my theory got crashed.
All right. Well, that was quick.
Yeah, hey, it's, you know,
pretty
at least
good.
We got through it.
So I was out last week. So you guys did, Marcus do the stand-up bit?
No, he didn't do the stand-up bit.
And you didn't do it?
No, I didn't do it. I'm not qualified.
Yeah. What do you mean you're not qualified?
Not qualified.
Didn't you do an open mic once?
I did a lot of open mics and I got bad reception from it.
Didn't go well?
It didn't go well at all. Let's just say the talent agents who were sitting in it.
They're sitting in it. Ugh, that's never good.
They were not calling me back.
Well,
and I passed my card around too.
What was that? You passed your card around?
Yeah. I had a card.
Well, you just gave up too quick.
Comedian. Lives in mom's basement.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Good card. I think that's a pretty apt description for a lot of comedians.
Yeah, for the most part.
Or people that think they are. Well, I apologize to everyone for being out, but like I said, I'm still missing next week too. So, but we will give you one last preseason version of In Case You Missed It. Maybe. Possibly.
Hold on.
Oh, you forgot how to do it? Oh, boy. Wow. Very grumbly, thank you. In case you missed it, preseason Heisman odds are out. According to the sportsbook, Trace McSorley of Penn State is twice as likely to win the award than Oregon's Justin Herbert. Personally, I don't care about the award. I'm just excited to see these two guys not lead their team to the college football playoff.
Hold on.
I'm holding on.
Oh. There you go. There's the hi-hat.
What happened there?
I had a technical mistake.
Yeah. Well, at least you've solved it. Trace McSorley, you don't think he's a Heisman candidate? 15-1 15-1 odds.
Dude, that guy looks like he's having a spasm every time he throws. He's got to like put his whole, when you got to put your whole body into it, you know, that's not good.
Yeah, that's never good, especially when you're playing Division I quarterback and you don't have Saquon Barkley this year. Yes. In case you missed it this week, apparently we've been mispronouncing Tyrod Taylor's name this whole time.
What?
Yes, at a press conference, he explained that people have been doing so long that he stopped correcting people. But if you want to call him by his given name, it's pronounced Game Manager.
Ah, well played. Thanks. I think that's Alex Smith's name too.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty accurate. I almost penciled in Alex Smith, but I went game manager instead. I also had mediocre written in there for a minute. But he's probably going to be the starter for Cleveland. People seem to like him there.
Dude, I don't know, though. I watched some stuff of Baker Mayfield from last night in that Bills game. Dude, he's good. He is really, really good.
But I think the plan is to start Tyrod, who just doesn't make mistakes.
And it's one of those things where you see him and you see the potential, and then you just see how crappy the offensive line is in the play calling, and you're just like, wow, he'd be even better if he wasn't there. Like, you can tell he's good.
Everybody would be better if they weren't there. Speaking of the Cleveland Browns, Bud Light is going to give away free beer as soon as the Browns win their first game in two seasons. Clevelanders not super pumped about it. They said, it's bad enough we've won one game in the last two seasons. Now you're going to make us drink Bud Light?
You're not a Bud Light fan?
Oh, you are?
I don't drink.
I think it's America's best-selling beer, so I guess that's something?
Yeah, I guess so.
But yeah, no, not a Bud Light fan.
Well, what's America's best-selling restaurant, you think?
Best-selling restaurants? McDonald's, probably.
You think McDonald's is good? Well, McDonald's,
I don't know. It depends on how you qualify restaurant.
Let me tell you, here's a hot take. Some of the best pancakes I've ever had are McDonald's hotcakes.
Yeah, that is a hot take.
They're friggin' good, dude. Yeah. Like, they're surprisingly good.
Yeah.
And I know the ingredients are probably fat and butter and fat, but it's really good. Like, I'd rather take that over an Elmer's stack.
Whoa, you better stop talking trash about Elmer's.
Why are there...
Their German pancakes are delightful.
Why are there video poker machines in Elmer's?
So you can play video poker. Because you can have your breakfast and you don't have to leave. You can go play video poker. Then come right back for lunch.
Who the hell is doing that? Eating their breakfast and then go and play 3 hours of video poker and then go, well, I'm here. I might as well get a BLT.
Yeah. In case you missed it this week, Kobe Bryant has apparently made $200 million on his $6 million investment in the new sports drink Body Armor.
A lot of money.
Since he's retired from basketball, he's won an Oscar. He's made a $200 million investment. Did you think it was possible to hate Kobe more after he stopped playing basketball?
I don't know. I'm kind of a good for him thing.
Are you really? Like, he needed it?
Well,
kind of rubbing it right in our faces. And it's not like he's doing the Magic John thing where he's like, oh, he went out and made some smart business decisions. No, that's astronomical returns on any sort of investments. And then he wins an Oscar for his short film on like the first piece of art that he makes. Kobe Bryant.
Well, let me say this though. I don't think he's so much in your face about it. I feel like everything that Magic Johnson does that's considered a success, like, I have to hear about it from 8 different people.
Yeah.
Like Kobe Bryant, this, I remember, I mean, I kind of barely heard about it. Yeah. I know it was retweeted by ESPN and all that, but like, I feel like with Magic Johnson, it's always like he's got to get on TV and talk about how great a job that he did. And Kobe just is kind of like, yeah, I just want to make a lot of money and be a success in business and just leave me alone, please.
Yeah, as he accepts his Oscar.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, okay. In case you missed it this week, it would have been hard to miss. The big controversy was between the Marlins and the Braves when Jose Urena beaned Ronald Acuna, the hottest baseball player going right now, potential rookie of the year. Well, Urena was suspended 6 games for his bean ball thrown at the Braves, rookie, all-star, superstar, prodigy, whatever you want to call it.
Star.
Emerging star. That's what I was looking for.
Person.
That person. Urena was not all that upset. It turns out a 6-game suspension when you play for the Marlins is actually a reward.
It is.
Especially at this time in the season when you're not playing for anything.
Yeah.
And finally, well, I'll do this one. I like this one better.
Okay.
I've got one about CJ, but we'll talk about CJ next.
That's coming up next.
It is definitely coming up. Finally, in case you missed it, AJ McCarron has a broken collarbone. You know it's bad in Buffalo when they're worried about who's going to fill in for the guy that couldn't play ahead of Andy Dalton. That is a terrible quarterback situation.
That's an interesting jab you just took, an Andy Dalton jab.
Yeah, Andy Dalton jab.
How dare you?
Well, listen, AJ McCarron, they're like, oh no, we're missing AJ McCarron. Yeah, the guy couldn't start in Cincinnati.
Well, that was a half-baked plan anyway. It was like, yeah. I think that plan was like, hey, we're going to get Josh Allen, and then don't worry about the whole, like, he'll sit behind develop quarterback guy. We'll figure that out. And then it got down to the end of the night, right? It's 2 a.m. at the bar, and they turned the lights on, and they were like, oh, crap, all there is AJ McCarron. Yep. Just grab him. Who cares?
We'll take him.
Sure.
I would have done the joke about C.J. McCollum, but those jokes kind of write themselves. Let's dive into C.J. McCollum and his fun week in another very bizarre offseason for the Blazers two-guard. We'll start there next. Sinner and Saint, 1080 The Fan. I think this may be our only Blazers segment today, so before we get into C.J. McCollum and Jennifer.
Damn it, Jennifer.
Did you see that the Blazers esports team is the one seed going into the playoffs?
Yeah, man. We're good.
Are we?
We're really good. Now, what game is it that we play?
It's basketball, but it's the...
Well, but what's the video game?
It's the NBA 2K, isn't it?
I thought it was like Call of Duty or something.
No, it's basketball. We drafted a basketball team here in Portland, and we are apparently the best at video game basketball.
Well, that's something to talk about, I guess.
Well, that's what we're talking. That's
sure.
What
whatever. Like, is that going to be televised? I don't know. I was kind of like...
The Blazers esports team boasts a 12-2 season record in the NBA 2K League. And the 2K League's first ever MVP is a guy that plays for the Blazers.
Sounds solid.
Yeah, the Blazers 5 center averages 21 points per game as well as 14 rebounds.
Dude.
So apparently we have a guy controlling each of the guys in NBA 2K. And that's...
Is that your Madden breakdown?
We got to the, well, do you want me to give me the whole breakdown? You would be very bored.
So what we got here is a guy who's selecting the players, and then he gets the ball, and then he puts it in a hoop, and then he goes to the next guy to play defense.
Boom. Is that your Madden impression? Jeez.
Not bad.
Pretty terrible. Pretty terrible. But apparently the league champion will split $300,000.
Dude, that's some change.
That's definitely a thing. But yeah, we drafted a basketball team from guys that play video game basketball.
Well, I will commend the NBA for doing this because it is pretty sweet that they're able to reach out to a younger audience and actually, like, you know, grow their audience through the years, unlike the NFL.
Do we know if that's happening?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably. It's just an assumption.
Well, think about it this way, though. The NBA, there was this article in the Washington Post I was reading a couple weeks ago talking about how the NBA has, like, more than any other professional sport, gotten into the Twitter game better than any of them. Like, sure. They've created a culture around NBA Twitter. And then you have this where they're creating NBA 2K leagues. And I think they're trying to reach out to people who might not be basketball fans, maybe video game fans, and saying, hey, you can be engaged on this level. Why don't you watch some of the games as well? On the other side of the pond, you have the NFL who goes, well, now if you take a knee, I'm going to take a paycheck from you. And we don't care about women.
Yes. Well, I don't
so
know.
So if you're a woman, screw you. We don't care.
I don't know that that's the intentional message. Yes, but yes, you're absolutely right. The NBA has embraced social media and Twitter, and we've got a couple players with podcasts. One is telling stories about driving through New York City with someone in a cage in the back of the car.
Dude.
J.J. Redick.
Yeah.
Super bizarre. But the other one is C.J. McCollum, our hometown hero. C.J. McCollum has his podcast, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, but he gets into it with Kevin Durant about how super teams suck, and then Kevin Durant just makes fun of him because the Blazers are terrible.
Yes.
So C.J. has been going on the media tour, and he called the whole super team thing disgusting. Then he gets onto social media and try to defend himself. Well,
now, you're sweeping over the funny part about this. He called teams disgusting in China.
He did. Well, that's part of the funny part. But I think we've already discussed this. So we've gotten all this.
What is he doing in China?
He's doing a media tour. So he went to China because he's C.J. McCollum.
And he has hot C.J. fans in China.
C.J. has to have his own podcast. He has to Photoshop other players in Blazers uniforms. He's perpetually the little brother of the NBA. So this week it got even worse, and he goes on to Twitter, and he is defending the Blazers and trashing super teams. And a user that goes at the handle at Chocolate Delight 1980,
awesome,
named Jennifer Williams. So Jennifer says, win a playoff game, then talk. That's her tweet at C.J. McCollum. And C.J., his response, I'm trying, Jennifer, has gone NBA viral.
Yes, and it's incredible. And it's incredible on two fronts. First,
buy your I'm Trying Jennifer t-shirts.
Yes. And second, the lack of punctuation or comma after Jennifer.
You mean
or before Jennifer. I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm trying, comma, Jennifer.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it just says, I'm trying, Jennifer! And it's, yeah.
Dude, can he get more just desperate? This is so desperate to me. The fact that he's getting out there and putting himself out there to be this media, what I would say, lightning rod. This guy who basically says, look, I'm wide out in the open. I'm making statements that you can criticize, and bring it on, man. Bring it on. I'm going to invite Kevin Durant, who is a known snake, and who will basically get on air any chance he gets to kind of crap on any team or crap on anybody that craps on him. I'm going to bring him on my podcast. I'm going to talk to him about my team who's severely underachieved. I'm going to go to China and crap on Kevin Durant and the rest of the NBA dudes who've made the same decision even more.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
And all he wants to do is recruit people to Portland to build his own super team.
Yes.
He is the little brother of the NBA. So this led to our poll question. I want to see what the results are. I haven't looked at it yet. At Center Saint 1080, we have two polls. We'll get the other one later. Don't worry about that. We'll get into the Bills quarterback situation. But what's our CJ McCollum Twitter poll?
All right. So if CJ McCollum was not a Blazer, how would you feel about him, Jennifer? Dude, we got a three-way tie here.
Woo! How exciting.
Three-way tie for third is hope the Zers get him. Meh. Why has he got a podcast? And then the leader with 28% of the votes is no feeling whatsoever.
Yeah, if CJ didn't play for the Portland Trailblazers, I kind of agree with that. I don't think you would think of him.
So why is it that he's getting so much of this attention being... I think it is kind of weird that he is getting this now.
But is it national attention? Like, if we called up another NBA city and go, "Hey, what do you think of this CJ McCollum and the whole I'm trying Jennifer?" They'd be like, "Who?"
I think they would know it because I think he was able to spark the whole thing with the Kevin Durant interview. And you know, they were talking about it on PTI. It was one of their leads at one point. And I get it. You know, in terms of NBA news, this is kind of slim pickings right now. You're still at this point where. I mean, you know, you're not even really getting into the preseason and, you know, football's coming up. So the NBA has kind of put it on the back burner except for free agent moves. But this is just like, it's very odd that he's putting himself out here like this.
Well, the text line, the Better You Today text line, 55305. I love it. Shows CJ McCollum is at least authentic and trying. Gotta love his effort. Do you though? Because you can be authentic without forcing authentic on people. You know what I mean? I just feel like he's trying so hard. Just relax and be yourself. But it's like you don't need to confront Kevin Durant. Like if you call Kevin Durant out for joining the team, like Kevin Durant made that decision to join the Warriors and has been criticized it by the media. If you criticize him to his face, he's going to be defensive about it. And it's not going to end well for a team that got swept out of the playoffs back-to-back years.
Yes.
Like you have to know that. That's not being authentic. That's being a little desperate, in my opinion. Going and doing the media tour through China to promote the NBA, great. But you have to call out the teams that are better than you. You wanted to get Carmelo Anthony. You wanted to get Boogie Cousins. You made it known that you wanted to get those guys. You would just assume have members of Team USA joining the Blazers so you and Dame could be on a quote-unquote super team. But nobody wants to play with you, CJ. Like, you're desperate when you go out on Twitter and just beg people and Photoshop them and tweet and tweet and tweet about how you need to come play with us. And then you go and trash people because you couldn't get anybody better than Evan Turner to play with you.
Jerk.
You jerk.
You jerk. You jabroni.
Also from the Better You Today text line, CJ McCollum should be a Toronto Raptor. Should be the next Kyle Lowry, not Dame. It's the whole vibe, not to disparage Canadians. He does feel very Canadian.
Well, and you know, we were talking about this too before the show. You were asking me a pretty pointed question was you go, okay, now who are the Portland Trailblazers on the East Coast? And my immediate answer was, oh, the Raptors, because it was the Raptors. It's the same thing, right? You had DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, and they kind of look like Dame and CJ.
But and this is the way the two teams are set up. But yeah. I said, no, forget that. What is the perception of the Blazers as a franchise? Forget this season, just as a whole. What do people think outside of Portland? Because I've grown up here my whole life. I have no idea how to just disconnect from that because I have my image of growing up with the Blazers. What do people outside of the Portland area think of the Blazers franchise?
55305, the Better You Today text line.
Yeah.
Let's hear it. I don't know. I don't think they think of us. And I think that they probably think of CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard as kind of desperate.
Well, but I think they think of Dame and they go, too bad he's with the Blazers.
Yeah.
I can't wait till he goes to the Lakers.
Dude, the biggest story of Dame this offseason was when there was that really flighty rumor that he was going to get traded to the Lakers and join LeBron. And I think that caught the national attention because everybody was like, oh, yeah, dude, I could see that. Damian Lillard and LeBron James playing together. Okay, now I'm on board. Yeah. Damian Lillard as a front piece, like, he had an incredible statistical season.
Call him a front piece?
He's a front piece.
I know what that means.
But, like, if you take just the statistical year that he had last year, it's friggin' great. He was really, really, really good. And I think he was, what, fifth in MVP voting?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I get it. He gets frustrated that he doesn't get enough national attention, but at the same time, dude, just recognize where you are.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to happen. This isn't the 90s anymore where
there's only 30 Jordan. Spots that you can play in the NBA, though. You know, yeah. I mean, if you can go and be fifth in the MVP voting, it doesn't really matter what city you're in. But not all NBA cities created equal. Just look at LeBron going to Los Angeles just because he wants to be in that city.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. NFL preseason is in mid-swing. We're starting to see some injuries. What does this mean for the outlook of the Buffalo Bills?
Ooh, hot Bills talk.
Hey, I want to get into some hot Bills talks. Yeah. Let's get into some hot quarterback talk.
Oh, I like that. Can we talk about Sam Darnold's dimples? Or his mole?
Right after the news.
Okay.
This is going to be a bizarre NFL season, I think. There's a lot of places where you're going to have a new starting quarterback. And some have started games for their teams, but you have a lot that, you know, this is their first starting season. Like Garoppolo. We don't necessarily know what the Carson Wentz situation, if he'll be ready for week one. So you don't know if you'll have Nick Foles starting, but they're probably in pretty good shape. Kirk Cousins has been a starter in the NFL for a long time, but going to Minnesota, Alex Smith in Washington, it's going to be a bizarre year, but I do want to reiterate how bad it looks for Buffalo.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's sad.
So AJ McCarron broke his collarbone. He has a hairline fracture. I've heard everything from 3 to 10 weeks in different reports. So yes. That it could be a very long time, but I just want to go over the Buffalo Bills schedule for you real quick. Cause this could be the worst team in the NFL, depending on how things roll out.
Well, okay, go ahead.
Okay, here's just the way their season starts. So let's assume the worst, and they don't have AJ McCarron, who we don't really know how good he is as an NFL starter, may not be back for 10 weeks. So they open at the Ravens. Then they host the Chargers, at Vikings, at Packers, Titans, Texans, Colts, Patriots.
Yeah. So
there's not a lot of wins there.
There's going to be a lot of games where you're going to have to try.
Right now, your choices are between Josh Peterman. Nate Peterman and Josh Allen.
Well, first of all, you disrespecting Nathan Peterman like that should indicate just enough how good, in fact, Nathan Peterman
is. Nate Peterman.
Nate Peterman, who, by the way, has the name of a guy who goes fishing every weekend.
Does he?
Nate Peterman, yes.
I feel like Nate Peterman Volkswagen is a dealership just outside of town.
And it's not that crappy. It's just you won't go there unless you find the car online that you really want.
Well, it's Volkswagen. It's not, you know, it's not Toyota. It's not Honda. You're going out there because you're like, well.
But like you would expect with a Volkswagen dealership, they got nice cars. But at Nate's dealership, it's like they don't have too many good cars on the lot.
So is it a used car lot?
It's not quite. Nate, it's like they got the new, they got new cars and they're not great. But a lot of the used Volvos they got, you wouldn't really look at either.
They're not Volvos. It's Volkswagen.
Oh, Volkswagen. I'm sorry. Volkswagen.
Yeah, it's two different brands. So we put up a poll about the Bills quarterback situation, and we'll get into the rest of the NFL in this segment. We promise we won't spend the whole time on the Bills. But I'm curious what the outlook is for our Bills fans out there. So at Center Saint 1080, Will, what's our poll on the Buffalo Bills?
Who would you rather start at QB, Jennifer? Let's see, 12% of you say Nathan Peterman. 16%.
Wait. 12%. That's last.
That's last place, Nathan Peterman. Now hear the rest of your options. 16% say two kids in a trench coat.
Stacked on top of each other?
Yes.
Okay, just so everybody gets that visual.
That is a whole other topic because you have to kind of consider who's going to be your bottom.
Well, the heavier kid's on the bottom.
Well, but the heavier kid probably has a better arm.
Yeah, but he also has worse feet too. But you the
it's a trade off.
If the lighter kid's at the bottom with a better feet, you put the heavy kid on top of him. You're not moving around very well.
And now the other factor to consider in that too is: are they wearing the matching mustache, hat, and glasses to try to pass themselves off as an adult?
Yes, the kid on the bottom doesn't need to because he's inside of the trench coat. But yes, the kid on top with the head exposed is, of course, wearing the glasses. And
of course,
he's wearing a football helmet because he's playing for the Bills.
32% said a loaf of white bread, which is surprising. And then finally, 40% said Josh Allen.
So Josh Allen beat out the loaf of white bread.
Yeah, and really not by that much, only 8%. And I mean, this poll's still up, you know.
Still up. You can still vote. We'll check on it.
Loaf of white bread could still win.
Fair point. Fair point. So let's say this might be one of the worst. I will say that Josh Allen played better yesterday. Was it yesterday?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
That they played. Than he did in the first preseason game. He showed a reason why he was a top 10 pick, I suppose. But, I mean, according to Jalen Ramsey, he's just trash.
Yeah, dude. Oh, he's okay, Jalen Ramsey's, first of all, Jalen Ramsey's interview with GQ was a friggin' revelation. Like, that's it was fantastic. Awesome, dude. Like, he just dug in. And everything he said is completely effing true, by the way. Like, none of that is like, oh, he's just jealous because of blah, blah, blah. Or no, like, all of those assessments are pretty accurate.
Except.
Well, for Blake Bortles? Yeah. No, his was pretty accurate, too. Hey, Blake does what he does.
Do what he do.
Blake's going to do what he does. Whatever. You know, one of the things I thought was interesting, because I went back and watched highlights of Josh Allen, was that he looked better as the game went along. And really, that's the most encouraging thing you could take if you're looking at a guy like this who's supposed to be, quote unquote, developmental, right? Yeah. Like they went out and purposely got AJ McCarron to say, hey, look, we're going to run this guy for about 8 to 9 games. You know, if he plays pretty well, screw it. We'll keep him in the whole season and let Josh Allen just kind of be the understudy. But as the game went on, you could tell that Allen was getting used to the pace of the game. And it was really late in the game where he made that friggin' sweet evasive action in the pocket.
Well, that's a thing.
Stepped up and threw a TD.
It's not just his arm. It's also the athleticism. Yeah. I see. And another guy that we got to see kind of the reason why they did what they did in Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that throw went 69.
To Tyreek Evans, yeah.
And change in the air. Yeah. Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill, right.
Yeah, to Tyreek Hill. But you can, like, if you go back and watch that replay, so if anybody missed it, this is Chiefs-Falcons preseason. And you look at the Falcons defenders, and they were not expecting the ball to be thrown at that point. They're just like, oh, we're too deep down the field. They kind of just let up. They're like, all right, we've run 70 yards. There's no way the ball's coming, and you have to give Tyreek Hill some credit for making the adjustment on the ball in the air, because that's not a pinpoint throw. It's, all right, my dude's down there. I'm just hucking it up. It doesn't matter what shoulder it goes over. As soon as the ball goes in the air, he has to turn and go the other direction. So it's not like he hit him in stride. It's just he makes a good adjustment on the ball, and if the ball's hanging that much time in the air, you just hope your receiver can make the better adjustment.
Yeah, and, you know, he's set up Mahomes is set up really well in
with
terms
a good
of
team
career.
Around him.
Yeah, well, and also a coach. I mean, Andy Reid, as much as we can kind of crap on him for being a walrus, like, he's a good coach and he knows how to develop quarterbacks. And so that's what kind of gives you a little bit of encouragement to say that, like, okay, he is pretty raw right now, because he is. If you go back and watch the game, there are really raw moments where you just go, where are you throwing and what is your read? But it's plays like that where you look at it and you go, oh my God, the potential is sky high for him.
Well, then you look at it and you go, how much does that change the way you have to defend a team when you have to cover 70 yards down the field? I mean, you think if he scrambles outside of the pocket and you know, you have your guys coming back to you, the amount of space that you need to cover. And when you have to cover a guy for, you know, 4.5 seconds, and the guy can just whip it down the field 70 yards. I mean, that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, dude, you have a friggin' Olympic sprinter going downfield. Like, why don't they just run a go every time with Tyreek Hill? Like, why does he even run routes?
And just first one there?
Yes. It doesn't matter. Like, seriously, just put him as the X and then just every time go. Like, you can have a number of plays and everything, but just keep him out of the equation every time. Just be like, yeah, dude, run a go.
Dude, it's 2nd and 3 every time you're running that play.
What are you talking about? It's a running play. I don't care. Run a go.
Yeah.
Just get in the sprinter stance and get going.
Well, because here's the problem with that is that play only works if you're on a third of the field, because a guy will throw it out the back of the end zone in most plays.
Yeah,
you can't run it inside 60 yards of the end zone.
Okay, dude. So let's say you're on the other side of the 30, right?
Yeah.
And or you're on your own 30 and you're about to score. You're getting close to the red zone. if you tell Tyreek Hill to run a go at that point, like, I think you could just treat it as a back shoulder fade. Like, you wouldn't even have to really set up, because he's going to get down to the end zone before you even, like, finish your five-step drop. Just treat it like a fade. Just bop, bop, whoop, there it goes
and
up there.
Just launch it straight up. One, two, three, throw.
Screw it.
And then just put it down 58 yards down the field. It looks like a punt if you do that.
Yeah.
Is there a situation other than the Chiefs that you're more excited about to see what it's going to look like with the new quarterback?
Yeah, Baker Mayfield.
Is it really?
Yeah, of course. I think it's pretty cool. Well, because I kind of had the opinion before the preseason, before actually seeing him get an NFL helmet on, that he was going
to
suck.
Well, but let me re-ask the question to make sure that I understand how you're answering it. Are you more excited to see him play, or are you expecting great things?
I'm more excited to see what will happen.
Okay.
I mean, it's not that I'm expecting great things. It's that I am pleasantly surprised how well he's fit into preseason play. Now, of course, once you actually start NFL action, you don't know what's going to happen once, you know, games actually start mattering and you're not playing third and fourth string defenses. But I was really pleasantly surprised to see a guy who, you know, is just above 6 foot be able to sit in the pocket and make super accurate throws. And I guess I shouldn't be, because he was like that at Oklahoma. You just don't know what's going to happen.
He's like that at Texas Tech before he got run out and got replaced.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, he goes and walks on just wherever he goes. He's got that mentality where he's going to prove everybody wrong. And he
just looks like a delight to go drinking with, doesn't he?
Yeah, go back to that Fayetteville footage of him running from the cops.
Oh, yeah, dude. I would have an incredible time drinking with Baker. His name's Baker.
Yeah?
Yeah, of course he's going to be fun. Old Baker.
Old Baker.
Yeah, when he gets older, too, he's got the perfect old man name. Biker.
I don't know if I'm seeing that.
Really?
The Browns may not win a lot of games, but I think they'll be very entertaining. Have you started watching Hard Knocks?
No.
Are you gonna?
I need to.
I might start watching. I've never actually watched Hard Knocks, but I've got access to HBO. I've got a mild interest. I've got a couple Browns friends that say it's just fantastic. And apparently Jarvis Landry is just chucking footballs at people.
Yeah, it's great.
Which is delightful.
Yeah, and then the whole wide receiver
55305, better you today, text line. Should we catch up on Hard Knocks? Are we already missing out? We'll get to those answers and then more after Good versus Evil. We'll do that next. You're listening to The Sinner and the Saint on 1080 The Fan.
Have you been too busy to keep up on sports this week?
What has happened today? What has happened? What has happened to the national interest?
No time to form your own opinions?
I stand before you here today in the midst of gnarly times.
Well, no worries, brah. Let the sinner and the saint shred the gnar while you just sit back and ride the wave. It's time for Good versus Evil, brought to you by the Titan of Hawaiian Restaurants, 808 on 1080 The Fan.
I went, I cleared it very easy. I'm like, okay, jumped again.
That was a larger and slightly more talented version of J.J. Hickson. His name's Zion Williamson.
It's a big dude.
He's Duke's newest freshman phenom whose high-flying highlight dunks have left YouTubers and bandwagon college basketball fans in excited delight. He dropped 29 in his preseason debut against some Canadian team, and not many analysts are talking about how great Duke will be this season. Rather, everyone wants to know where Zion
Williamson.
We'll play pro ball. Do you see Zion being a bust or a success?
He's going to be in the NBA.
You think? Well, I know he's going to be in the NBA.
Oh.
Do you see him being a bust or a success, though?
It's so hard because you don't know the mental makeup of these kids. But I don't know how with that physique. He's 6'9", 285 pounds.
There's 6'10".
He has a 6'10 wingspan.
Oh, right.
He outweighs every NBA player except one. The guy's got...
Is that Raymond Felton?
It's no. Oh, that was very good. A little, get it? There you go. With that, you think with that physical size that he's going to have the endurance to play through an 82-game season. The guy's dunking from the free throw line, so he has the athleticism to play defense in the NBA. And I don't know what his offensive game looks like outside of the highlight dunks that I've seen, but he's going to have a long NBA career just based on size, physical ability. Whether or not he becomes a superstar, I don't know that that's the expectation that he's the next LeBron, but he's certainly a human highlight reel. So the next Vince Carter?
He can kind of shoot.
Well, again, the mental makeup is whether or not he wants to be a star. When we saw LeBron James when he was in high school, people started projecting him as the number one overall pick in coming out of his junior year of high school, not just because of his physical gifts, but how well he understood the game. That I have not heard about Zion Williams. So he'll be a good NBA player. I don't know if he's going to want to take it up to the next level.
No news on any of the other fronts from a health standpoint. Any questions? A
couple guys signed off, Pouncey, Hayward, Ben.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I didn't keep count. You know, I want to see some of these young guys in this environment. We'll step into a stadium next week for a first time, and it'll be a lot of firsts.
It's a lot of firsts in young guys.
Yes, firsts in young guys.
That was overpaid bearded tough guy, Mike Tomlin. And
he's
talking
overpaid?
About, yeah, he's far overpaid now. And he was talking about his two-time Super Bowl winning QB, Ben Roethlisberger. Reports from practice say that Big Ben ran into a teammate at practice, which is really funny, and might have suffered a concussion. Fast forward a couple of days, come to find out he did not suffer a concussion, but he is in protocol. Who is Ben Roethlisberger's backup?
Ben Roethlisberger's backup is Mason Rudolph or Landry Jones.
Right.
Yeah.
How comfortable do you feel about that?
Oh, not good. Landry Jones, every time he comes in, former Oklahoma quarterback, he's terrible. When he goes
really
in there,
sucks.
He is not good at football. Jalen Ramsey did not assess it, but he trash.
Let me ask you something. Would you rather have taken Landry Jones as your starting quarterback or Jason White with good knees? That's a hard question.
Or Sam Bradford with good knees? Jeez, Oklahoma quarterbacks. I guess Jason White, just because I'd rather have the unknown. I mean, they drafted Mason Rudolph for a reason. Big Ben is not reliable health-wise.
Well, he's getting old.
Well, yeah, but he also, the way he plays. I mean, that guy has just been... He's been perpetually hurt throughout his career. I don't recall an injury that's taken him out for long chunks, but he's always beat up. I mean, that guy's limping by week one every year, and it continues through week 17. He'll miss a couple games here and there, but that guy just... I can't imagine what his body feels like when he wakes up in the morning.
Do you mean what it feels like after the first beer?
What's that?
After the first beer?
No, I just assume...
That dude's definitely drinking a beer when he gets up.
Yeah, there's no question about that.
One thing that I thought about in all of this is that Kawhi never said, I want to play for the Clippers. Kawhi said he wants to play for the Lakers. You know, unfortunately, if you're going to run your organization based on hopes, maybe, and getting rid of others. Now, if I tore him down and I was disrespectful to him, that's one thing. But that's not the case. As an analyst, I'm supposed to talk about what I see.
That was a man who was in the right place at the right time a lot of the time, Bruce Bowen. Earlier this week, the Hall of Fame Spur was relieved of his duties as a broadcaster for the Los Angeles Clippers because of his critical comments regarding then-free agent Kawhi Leonard. Earlier this week, Bowen confirmed the reason for his firing, and the common knowledge is that Leonard will be a free agent next season, and he wants to play in Los Angeles. And if you forgot, the Clippers play in Los Angeles.
That's true. I did not forget that.
Whew, good. I was hoping that was true.
Yeah.
Do you think the Clippers even have a chance at getting Kawhi?
I mean, I guess everybody's got a chance if he's going to be a free agent, but...
he's already said he doesn't want to play with LeBron.
So. Yeah, he did say that. So that's what I mean. He's from Los Angeles, so if he wants to go home... I mean, the Kawhi Leonard saga, I think, is one of the more bizarre, just because the guy doesn't talk. I mean, all the things that he's reportedly said are through his team and his people through a source. No, I have no idea what that guy thinks about. There's not many better places to play if you look at the NBA from the outside like we do than San Antonio. I mean, I know he wants to get a big shoe deal, but I don't know where you go to make yourself more high profile. I'm very interested to see how the season goes in Toronto and how engaged he is.
Yeah,
it's going to be bizarre.
All right, time for my favorite story of the week, and this one comes from Florida.
Yay.
Yep, it's a Florida story. It's just about as Florida as you can get. A mayor of a local town, Hallandale Beach, he's the mayor of that.
Sure.
Keith London publicly accused the commissioner of Florida on some board of anal bleaching.
Wait, what?
And then,
so this is a political accusation.
Yes.
Okay. This is a male or female commissioner?
This is a female conditioner.
Conditioner, right. Yeah.
Let's see here. Hallandale Beach Mayor Keith London said, quote, sphincter bleaching is a very up-and-coming business during the city commissioner's budget discussion Monday night. He may have even been right, but whether he thought anal bleach had anything to do with public safety budgets, the topic being discussed remains unclear. And he attributed it to the Me Too movement.
I don't know what that any of this means. Either you've outlined it poorly or...
probably, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But this sounds like Sasquatch erotica to me. Like, how do any of these things make it into the minds of these people that are running for office?
I don't know, because you get bored. I mean, think about it, man. Running for public office, once you actually win the campaign, it's so boring. All you're doing is going to these meetings with, like, local townies who are PO'd about, you know, their roads having potholes in them. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, but we sit here for 2 hours a week jabbering on the radio. We sat in for Dusty and Cam, did a full week, you and I talking to each other. We didn't come up with anything as ridiculous as a conversation point as Bigfoot erotica or sphincter bleaching as something to talk about. I mean, we come up with ridiculous things, but usually they're prompted by others doing ridiculous things. For that to be any point of conversation in a political environment is insane.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. I don't know. I wanted to get anal bleaching in there.
You did.
And I did.
You did.
I succeeded.
But it was brought to your attention. You didn't just go, man, I've been looking at it for months on how we can get anal bleaching into the show. You came across that and you went, how is this a real thing?
Let's see if I can get it in there somehow. Hopefully Josh Gordon somehow. Could you imagine?
I don't even know what that means.
Why would he eat it?
I don't think he would.
Oh, well. What the hell are we talking about?
I haven't the foggiest. I always hesitantly go into our sponsor for Good versus Evil. 808, the Titan of Hawaiian Restaurants at 2454 East Burnside or 52nd and Woodstock. In the second hour, we've got kneeling news. We've got more trash talk around the NBA. Josh Gordon actually has another big issue going on that has nothing to do with football or drugs. A jam-packed second hour for the Center and the Saint. That is all next. This is 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.